All right, we're looking here again at Matthew chapter 22, and starting here at verse 34. But when the Pharisees saw that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So we're talking about love and the idea of loving people because God loves them. And he's given you his love so that we can love them with. And this is The Power of Love, Part 38. And the subtitle to this is Possessing Your Mountain in Part 13. And we're almost done with this, but I have some things here I just want to make sure we wrap up and make sure we get. Now let's go to another scripture, please. Let's go to Psalm 113 in verses 7 and 8. Psalm 113 in verses 7 and 8. It says here, he raises up the poor out of the dust and lifted up the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. Can I have that same scripture in the Living Bible translation, please? He lifts the poor from the dust and the needy from the garbage dump. He sets them among princes, even the princes of his own people. So it's interesting how when God gets a hold of your life, he's a lifter. And he'll take you from a place of really having a sense of no value, even with yourself. And he'll bring you to a place where you are distinguished and you are necessary. Glory to God. And so as we go through this lesson today, I want you to keep that in mind, that God is lifting up people. And I really believe that right now is your promotion time. Now let's look at Joel. And Joel chapter 2, please. Joel chapter 2. I preached some things here in the first service and I wrote them down. You know, you get to flowing and you just say it as it comes out, you know. All right, over in Joel. In Joel chapter 2, hold on just a minute, let me get it. He said in verse 1, Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. The day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people, a strong there has not been ever like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Now, who that's talking about is you. Amen. And there's never been anything like you in the earth. Before the church came, there was nothing like it. After you leave, there's nothing going to be like it. And with the emergence of the church, we're going to emerge out of darkness. And meaning that outside of us, there could be people that are in darkness, could be suffering. But in the church, there's going to be light. And we're going to be able to take the light to that world of darkness. So, the ultimate goal of your redemption is to make you reign in this earth. And until you begin to reign in the area where God has placed you in your assignment, then you've not yet fulfilled your calling. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, Jesus said, "We the church are a city that is set on a hill, and this hill and cannot be hid." So that tells me now that we are in the time of distinction and dominion. And God has endowed us with supernatural ability to confront and oppose the things of this earth with confidence. In Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10, whether you are a king or a priest, God's plans for you to be successful. Thou hast made unto us God's kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Glory to God. Not be reigned on. So whether you're in the pulpit or in the pew, whether you're in the palace or in the temple, you're going to reign. So heaven is releasing the church into what is called the fullness of the hour. We call it the church age. And now God is going to work through his people in a way that has never been seen before. Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 5. Now, I don't have too much time for you to find Habakkuk chapter 1. In chapter 1 and verse 5, he says, "Behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days that you will not believe, though it be told you." That's what you're about to see. Now, as this happens, God is raising the church up in a way that has never been seen before. And like Elijah, this modern-day church will be deciding the destinies of nations. You remember what happened in 1 Kings chapter 17 in verse 1, where Elijah himself, the Bible says, the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Glory to God. So it stopped raining everywhere. Now that's how much authority he was carrying here. So you and I should be setting a standard for these generations that are coming in. That they need us because we are the salt. We're going to preserve their lives. You and I were born for exploits. We were born for marvels. We were born for prominence. And Jesus said, "Greater works than I did shall you do." So no matter what you saw in the book of Acts, you're going to top that. So the church should be keeping the city. because it takes spiritual authority to do this. So God is placing you and I in the world to counter what's going on in the world. And again, I said last week, we're not here taking sides. We're taking over. Now, wherever you're sent, that should be the kingdom of God should be established in that place. And so one of the things that we saw here is for you to shift a culture, you're going to have to love God. Look what he says in 1 John chapter 2, please. In chapter 2 and verse 16. And he says, for all, chapter 15, pardon me, I need to start at chapter verse 15. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are what? In the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it's of the world. Now, what is God going to have you do? Remember what we said, there's a culture out here that is continuing to slide into darkness. And you and I are supposed to stop that slide and shift that culture back to the culture of the kingdom. Now, to do that, you and I are going to have to come in with power. Because, again, it's not enough to just tell somebody about Jesus. There's going to have to be a demonstration of it. Say amen to that. And for you to change the world, you're going to have to first be changed yourself. And God is not putting you in that world so that you can go in there and that world begins to influence you. And the next thing that happens is you start bowing down to that world or conforming to the world, if you will. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16 right there. Over in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16, he talks about, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. And that's interesting. I'm sending you. Do you know how vulnerable a sheep is in the midst of wolves? Let's look at another one. Let's look at Luke. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 3. Over in 10 and verse 3, he not only talks about sheep, but he talks about lambs. I'm sending you forth as lambs among wolves. Now, these are baby sheep. So it's interesting how he's sending us into these places. But he fully expects us to make a change. So we're going to have to understand that, wait a minute. We're going to have to confront some things here. So if you would, if you go over to Psalms chapter 66, I think it is. Over in Psalm chapter 66 and verse 3. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves to you. They're not going to submit because you come in there talking about praise the Lord. But look what happened over here, for example, with Pharaoh. Look at Exodus chapter 7. And this is Pharaoh. Now, this is Moses being sent to Pharaoh because he got to shift some things here. And notice in verse 1, he says this. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh. And how many of you know you are gods in this earth? Amen. That's what the scriptures say. Now, I know you're not big G. You know you're not big G, and you know you'll never be big G. This is little G. But that means rulers. You are, not the devil. And look what it says in Exodus chapter 7 and verse 8. He says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak to you, saying, show me a miracle. See, I don't need to go any further. Pharaoh is going to ask you to demonstrate something. If you are who you say you are, and your God is who you say he is, show me. And that's what the world is waiting for. And that's why the church many times has not been respected, because they haven't seen much difference. Come on now. But those days are changing. Now, when he sends you in there as a sheep among wolves, understand that he understands that you're going to need protection. And over in Luke's gospel, for example, chapter 10. And in Luke chapter 10, he says, go your way, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. But go on down to verse 19. And here's what he says in verse 19. He says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You're not excited yet. Amen. Verse 17, put it up there, please. Over in verse 17, he says, and the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons or devils are subject to us through thy name. See, if you've got the name inside of you, see, we talked about this a little bit the other night, but the name, I said the name. This name, let me show you how powerful this name is. Look at Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10. The name, see, if you got this name inside of you. You with me? He said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous can run to it and be safe. That enemy knows if that name is in you. I was telling him last service, I was down in, not long after we had gotten here and started the ministry down at Lake Pulaski, I went to visit a friend of mine downtown Chicago, and he's a lawyer. And he was wanting me to come down and pray over his bills, curse those bills and make them be paid off. And so I was going down to his office, and we're going to have lunch after that. And so I was down on LaSalle Street, and I'm walking down the street, and there was commotion over on the other side. It was about noontime. And a commotion on the other side. And I saw it look like a homeless guy. He was kind of swinging at people and kicking at people and, you know, crowds of people around him and so forth. And you know, I just kept walking down the street, the other side of the street. Well, Spirit of God spoke to me and said, go over there. Well, I kept walking. Now, I want you to see something. Because in 1 John chapter 5, now watch this now. I just want you, we're dealing with something here now. 1 John chapter 5, and look at verse 3. He says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his what? Commandments. And his commandments are not what? Grievous. Grievous means burdensome. Means heavy, means hard to do. It was not hard for me to go from one side to another. See? And so now he spoke to me and go to the other side. I said, so I kept minding my own business. So I looked behind me. There was a guy walking behind me. He wasn't that far behind me, but he was looking at me as if he heard that. And quite frankly, it convicted me. I said, man. I said, well, let me go over here. So I looked, see if anything was coming. I stepped out in the street. Once I stepped out, the power hit me. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I want you to see this now. See, the power hit me, because whatever power it takes in your situation, that's the power that's going to be released. And I felt invincible. Now, I want you to hear that word, because that word, invincible, I put down here, it means incapable of being conquered, defeated, or subdued. You are invincible. Now, why aren't a lot of people doing this? Because it hadn't been preached. It hadn't been preached. It hadn't been preached. Man, this ain't been preached. Bible says over in Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, he talks about, well, now, how are they going to hear? Then how shall they call on him they have not believed? How shall they believe on him who they have not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? Well, then how can he preach except he be sent? The next verse, please. Let's flip the thing. Praise God. How can he preach except he be sent? See? I've been sent. My job is to train you up so that you have a right attitude about moving to the top.
Amen.
See? If you think you're going to get hurt, then that's a wrong attitude.
Amen.
You know, and I know, for Daniel to hear, do not pray to any other god, and then go up in his room, open, he could have left them closed, open the windows and prayed like I don't know what. He had to have knowledge. The Bible says over in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 13, it says that people without knowledge have gone into captivity. And I'm giving you knowledge here that I'm not sure you're going to get any other place. Me and probably a couple more people I know on the face of the earth are preaching this. I am not trying to be some exclusive somebody. I'm just telling you, I got some guts. I'm just telling you that I'm willing to tell you right now in Jesus' name that you are invincible. You don't need to ask me about it. Look at John chapter 16 and verse 33. And look at that. Look what it says in body. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have what? Tribulation. But be of good cheer. What happened? I have overcome the world. This is what he said. This is what's going to happen to you. Nothing. Here's what he said in that same scripture. Watch this. I'm going to give you another translation of it. Watch this now. Satan has been deprived of his right and ability to hurt you, destroy you, or make you fail. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Now, that's not all. It constantly in the scriptures, look at Psalm chapter 34 and verse 7. Over in Psalm chapter 34 and verse 7, he says this. He says, the angel of the Lord encamp around about them that fear him and what?
Delivers
them. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Look at verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but what will happen?
The Lord
shall deliver them out of the, how many?
All.
Out of them all. Folks, that puts you in the driver's seat. Now, I'm saying this because you've got to stop looking at the news media. and let the news media dictate your attitude. You got to come back and put the word first place. And when you do that, nothing can touch you. Because what's going up is a shield. It's called the shield of faith.
Amen.
Can't touch it. So realize, here is this guy on the other side. So God said, go over there and tell him. Or go over there to him. Now, as I crossed the street, I got halfway across the street, power of God hit. Whoa, felt invincible. Got to the other side of the street. Check it out. So I got, and I'm about 10 paces behind him. And the devil in him did this right here. Just like that. Now understand, that doesn't make any difference. Oh, have mercy. That spirit in him knew the spirit in me. No longer was he dealing with those people around him. He was dealing with me. And it was confrontation time. Now, what am I supposed to do? See? I just kept walking towards it. Matter of fact, I had a little swag. Put a little swag in there. No, but I kept walking towards him. And as I did, his gait began to close up, his shoulders swung. Why? Because he knew what was in me.
Yeah.
It was greater than he that's in the world. Now, if you don't know what's in you, that enemy knows when you don't know.
Come on.
And what happened? I walked up to him. I put my arm around his shoulder. Now, everybody looking, because they're waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. They are waiting for it, because they can't do nothing about ISIS. They can put more troops on the ground, but you know and I know it's going to take a spiritual power to break that thing. And folks, let me tell you, you can shift the atmosphere. You can make it so that everyone that's scheming, trying to come over into a certain place, will have a dream. Will have a dream and call out. And let me tell you, I was telling them about the guy down in Brazil, down in the Amazon, and he came and said, you know, we were down there and we had a camp down there and so forth. And this Indian tribe, this chief came over to our camp at night, said, listen, I was supposed to come over here and you were supposed to tell me what to do. I said, well, who told you that? He said, that was a man that walked in our camp. He said he was a man. He said his name, he called his name Jesus or something. He said he came to us in the camp and said, go over there. They'll tell you what to do. And they said, you're supposed to tell us about another man. A man. But no, it was an angel that came to the camp. And you're supposed to tell us about another man. Now, notice what God did. These wild Indians. And he went and had an angel to go to him and tell him to go to this man. He's going to tell him what to do. I'm telling you now, God can make you run when ain't nobody chasing you. But what's happening? Somehow the church had dropped back into some just opinions and, oh, I hope this, hope what? That, look at Psalm chapter 2 and verse 8. Hope. You don't need to hope no more. You are here to now fulfill hope.
Amen.
Ask of me and I'll give you the who. Heathen, that includes ISIS, Taliban, that includes Al-Qaeda, that includes every one of them because God wants them saved. Now, here's the deal. Can't get to it today. If they persist and do not come under that plan of God and continue to move in the wrong way, God has got to do something about it. Because now the vengeance of the Lord comes in and he will remove you from the earth. I'm here to tell you that the people of God, you have nothing to fear. And what you need to do is understand fear is coming because it wants to snatch down the blessing wall, the faith wall that's around you and surrounding you. That fear wants to snatch it down. And what you got to do is say, wait a minute, I got a strong tower and I can run to it and I am safe.
Amen.
I like what he talked about. He played the song from 2 Kings chapter 6. When here was a man of God out there and the enemy surrounded him, thought he was going to get him, thought he was going to take him captive. But no. I don't care how many enemy you have. God, listen, God, God is your judge.
Amen.
That's Psalm chapter 75, I think it is, 6 and 7 or 5 and 6. Praise God. Now, why am I saying that? Because God is a judge. That means God is the one decides who wins or who loses. See, not your opponent. See, it doesn't make any difference how many of them it is.
Amen.
Glory to God. I got this clock going off. It doesn't make any difference how many of them it is. What happens if you are with God? God's got angels. He's got angels that can take care of any situation. Now, you and I got to be very cautious of the fact we can't loose our mouth and get our mouth wrong. Say amen. And the other thing you can't do is start blaming. You can't go into a victim mentality. You got to keep that out of your mouth. Daniel did not do that. Look at the king. He got me down here. Joseph didn't do that. Oh, Mrs. Potiphar, that heifer got me down here in jail. He didn't do that. Come on now. You got to stop the finger pointing. What you got to say is, wait a minute. For you doing this to me, I'm going to get you saved. You shouldn't have done that because now you're going to be saved. And the God that you serve will come to him at night like he did Nebuchadnezzar or like he did the other king and come to them at night and tell them something and make them have the fear of the Lord come in them and make them be saved. Say amen to that. Now we got to stop this business of, and now here I am walking with this guy, a big old guy down the street here telling him about Jesus. I'm telling you right now, a lot of times what we want is people just to get wiped out. But first thing God wants is to get the people saved because he loves them just like he loves you. God so loved the what? World. They just don't know it. But they will know him through the demonstration of the spirit and a power that's going to come through you. Because when you confront that situation, God will give you an empowerment that you never felt before in your life. And you become unstoppable. You become invincible and indestructible. And I declare right now, I cancel death in your life. I cancel it in the name of Jesus. And every hurt, harm, accident, and danger, I cancel it now in the name of Jesus. You know, and I know. For them to go into that fiery furnace and go and say what they did, the God that we serve, he will deliver us. Honey, that took knowledge. Amen. Look at Proverbs 24 and verse 5. You can't go in there without that kind of knowledge. A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. Look at verse 10, if you will. Over in verse 10, he says, 10, please, 10. It says, If thou faint in the day of adversity, it's because your strength is small.
Yes, sir.
Because somebody hadn't taught you some stuff.
Yes, sir.
Because somebody didn't get in front of you and tell you what thus saith the Lord.
Yes.
And then you believe your man of God and go out here on that basis and say, wait a minute, you can't touch me, devil.
Yes, sir.
As a matter of fact, you can't touch my house. And you got to start saying that instead of being fearful of this or getting on an airplane or that. No more, no more, no more, no more, no more. This is going to be your time. This is the church age. And I'm telling you what he said in Habakkuk. He said, I'm going to work a work in your time that they will not believe. They say that is impossible. I don't care who your God is. Can't nobody do that. Yep, can't nobody do it but God. And he's going to use you to do it with, because he's about to distinguish you. He's about to have nations to look at you. Now, what's been happening so far? The kings have been occupying those positions. I'm talking about in your company. You see, Satan doesn't get excited when the secretary gets saved. That's all right, but that's not the level, see? But when the secretary to the chief justice in the Supreme Court, the secretary gets saved, that's one thing. But God is not just after the secretary. Hell shakes when the Supreme Court justice gets saved. And I'm here to tell you right now, that's what's about to happen. Glory to God. Turn to Acts, if you will. Acts chapter 9. This is when the Apostle Paul got saved. And over there in Acts chapter 9, it says this. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, when you know what's going to happen to you in the ring, you'll go in the ring with Iron Mike Tyson. But when you know you're going to come out and nothing's going to hurt you and you're going to get your $20 million purse and everything, you'll go right on in there and bob and weave and come on out and get your money. But if you think you're coming out with your head hanging half off and so forth, you don't know how you're going to. But when I give you what I'm going to give you in these next couple of lessons, your attitude's going to change. When you come on now, it's going everywhere you walk, your attitude's going to be different. Because you know one of the things that's going to be around you is the Holy Ghost. And he's going to shield you from anything that Satan would even try to sneak up on your backside. Glory to God. Look what he says here in verse 14. I'll say that. This is when God got Paul. Paul was a terrorist, but God got a hold of him. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call upon thy name. But the Lord said unto him, talking going to the house of Paul. Come on, folks, y'all should know that. He was talking to Ananias. He said to Ananias, go and talk to Paul and lay hands on him. But Ananias said, no, this guy's a crazy guy, so forth and so on. But look what he said. And then he said, bring it down, please. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, has appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes. Let's come on down to verse 15, please. Thank you. There's 15, verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. Watch this. To bear my name before the Gentiles, the kings and the children of Israel. I want you to see this. Put the verse back, please. To bear my name before the who? And who else?
Kings.
You see, somehow we've left kings out. We've left kings out. We left out the fact that that all the congressmen need to be saved. We've left off the fact that every CEO is supposed to be saved. We've left off, come on, we've ministered to the poor because they accept us real good. But how about up there? How about going up top now? How about going to the people that have a significant measure of rule and going to them and tell them about Jesus? And I'm telling you, when you go to them, bring some power with you, because Satan has put them in place and he's going to hold them in place. And he knows that if he can keep them in place, he can hold the mountain back. But you're coming to take the mountain. You're coming not to take sides, come on, but to take over. And he's going to send you out as sheep among wolves, but you know, can't no wolf touch you. That's all I have. Give the Lord a praise. If you need to be born again, we want to get you born again. So whoever it is need to be born again, get up out of your chair. Come on up here to the altar. Stand with me. Let's get you saved. Let's get you into the kingdom so you can get all the protection and everything I talked about. Whoever that is, get up out of your chair. Come on up here and stand with me right now. Somebody else. All right, let me make another.